The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now we'll turn for a moment to another great admirer of the natural world in a very different form. The poet Mary Oliver. From geese to crabs to insects to nearly an entire book about her dog, Oliver has turned again and again to animals and to the wilderness to look for meaning. A new collection of Mary Oliver's work called Devotions has just been published. Here's Mary Oliver reading from her work in 2012 at the 92nd Street Y in New York.
The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me. What else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Ruth Franklin wrote our review of Oliver's book, Devotions, and she's here with David Haglund, the literary editor of NewYorker.com.
Ruth, I'm curious, when did you first read Mary Oliver's work? And do you remember whether you liked her work right away, or did it take a while?
You know, I don't have a distinct memory of the first time. I did have a boyfriend in college who was a big fan of Mary Oliver and pressed her on me, so I'm suspecting that must have been it. I did always respond to just the directness of her approach. It feels so immediate and sort of focused on you as the reader.
It's so unguarded, mm-hmm. I think. There's something, and I admit that for me, I sometimes, it sort of takes me aback. It's not what I'm used to with poetry. One of my favorite poets is Wallace Stevens, who once said that poetry should resist the intelligence almost successfully, which is just not at all her approach, I don't think.
Yeah, in general, I think that is what makes her work so almost universally appealing, is that, you know, you don't feel like you need to have a degree in poetry in order to understand Mary Oliver.
Although that's also maybe why she hasn't gotten the critical acclaim that you might expect from a writer who's won. She has won some very big prizes,
right,
and is enormously popular as poets go. But there is a kind of looking down one's nose at her from some critics, maybe. I don't know if you'd put
Definitely.
It that way.
You know, I think of them as sort of more academic poetry critics. you know, who are more interested in a kind of hermetic, almost coded kind of poetry.
Do you think that she's very frank about her interest in God and in prayer, and, you know, for a particular kind of secular critic, maybe that's off-putting as well?
Yeah, I think it probably is. I mean, as in the poem we just heard, This Summer Day, there's this, you know, sort of introduction to the poem where we have a nature scene with a grasshopper. One nice detail that I read somewhere in an article about her, I don't remember where now, is that there was a real grasshopper that she used as a model, as it were, for that poem. The grasshopper was eating a slice of birthday cake at a picnic, I think. So we have this little scene, and then there's an abrupt switch in the middle of the poem, and suddenly she starts talking about prayer. But, of course, you know, if you're familiar with Mary Oliver, you know that that's in the background more or less all the time.
The Summer Day is typical of her work in another way, in that it's largely about the natural world. And at least for me, living in New York City, it does feel like a window into a kind of side of life that I maybe don't get to enjoy as often as I would. And I wonder if, to some extent, people kind of feel like opening a collection of Mary Oliver is like taking a walk outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think if Mary Oliver were here with us, she would probably scold you for saying that, because, of course, it's quite possible to experience the natural world even here in New York City. You know, that's something her poetry kind of exhorts the reader to do, is to find, you know, find that moment of beauty in nature, if it's, you know, if we can call it the sublime or the spiritual or just something we might not have noticed. You know, what does she say? Attention is the beginning of devotion. That her poetic method, as she presents it, is very much about that kind of directed attention, which presumably one could experience anywhere.
Let's give the last word to Mary Oliver. Here she is reading another one of her poems, Mornings at Blackwater.
For years, every morning, I drank from Blackwater Pond. It was flavored with oak leaves and also, no doubt, the feet of ducks. And always it assuaged me from the dry bowl of the very far past. What I want to say is that the past is the past, and the present is what your life is, and you are capable of choosing what that will be, darling citizen. So come to the pond, or the river of your imagination, or the harbor of your longing, and put your lips to the world and live your life.
Mary Oliver reading Mornings at Blackwater. The poem appears in the new collection, Devotions. We heard Ruth Franklin speaking about Oliver's work with The New Yorker's David Hagland. This is The New Yorker Radio Hour.